Well, I would appreciate your prayers. Title of my thought tonight is The Arrows of the Lord. I'm glad tonight that we know that God loves us. It is the very foundation of our faith. I'm glad to know that everything he does well. He don't make mistakes. And he knows better than I do. I'm depending on the fact that God knows what I need. I don't think it would be possible for me to choose the right things in my life because I would favor myself too much. I would never choose hardship. I would never choose the things that would that really causes growth. And I'm glad tonight that God loves me enough as a father loves a child to bring the right things into my life. I'm depending on that even when I don't want it. There's times that you tell a small child that they're going to eat what they have. They may not want that. They may be favoring the chocolate cake. I know at our house, Mama says, a lot of times you don't get that until you eat this. There's a lot of times that there has to be a, you've got to do this first. You're going to have to do your schoolwork before you play. You're going to have to accomplish cleaning your room before you go and be with young people. You've got to do that. Nobody's trying to be mean to you, young people. It's called love. Be honest with you. It's called love because we want you to grow up to be respectable, well-balanced people that's able to take what comes to life, handle it, and be able to function with it. And so there's training that goes through in life. I'm glad that when it comes to spiritual things that the Lord is watching over us, and one that we can know beyond anything else that He absolutely loves us. Because I have so many times in my experience, I have had to depend on this very thing. I've had to go and say, but I know you love me. It's give me the courage to go on. It's helped me through my failures. It's helped me to pick up it because God loves me. I can face the world not liking me because God loves me. I can face when things don't go well because God loves me. I'm glad that He does, and I'm glad that He knows. I'm saying, Lord, have Your way in my life where I wouldn't do it myself. I'm depending on that, Lord, that You would do that for me. I think God loves people enough to do that for them. I do. I think God loves everybody enough to stop them in their normal course of going to hell. Or do all that He can to stop them in their normal course. Because He loves us. And He wants us to have the ultimate. I want my children to have the ultimate life experience. I want them to be happy. I want them to know what life is. I want them to have all of that. I want them to go to heaven when they die. That's my goal. That's what I'd want. There was a story that went around our neck of the woods, if you will, several years ago. You know, there was a man that was, they were, him and his 14-year-old was bow hunting. They was in tree stands, and it got dark, and the dad was coming out of the woods. I don't know that he was just daydreaming. I don't know what he was doing, but it had already got dark, and he was coming out, and the 14-year-old son was still in his tree stand, and no doubt he was anxious to kill that deer, and it got too dark to really see, but he hears a noise, and he sees a shadow coming in under his stand, and he thinks it's that big buck he's waiting on, or this deer that he's waiting on, and he draws back, and he shoots, and he shoots his dad. And that story went around, he killed his dad underneath his stand, and I can only imagine what the trauma of that was. I know after that story went around, I hardly would go in it without a flashlight. I mean, deer don't carry flashlights anyway, and I wanted everybody to know that I'm here. But after that, I've always imagined many times what it must feel like to have this arrow go through you. It's not like an arrow is not like a rifle that can blow you instantly away and you lose consciousness because of the shock, the reverse shock of the blood vessels. That happens many times and you wouldn't feel anything many times. But an arrow is not that way. An arrow can only create a bleeding situation. Even shot dead through the lungs, for instance, you would live 45 seconds until you passed out from the oxygen. But you would have an awareness. I'm saying you'd have an awareness, and I always wondered what the awareness of an arrow going through you would feel like. I mean, the pain maybe of the sharpness of it, or the realization that this has got me, that I'm not going to make it, or whatever it must have been. The idea, and I've thought a lot about the arrow. Over in Lamentations, the third chapter, I just want to pick up a couple verses. You're free to read the whole thing, but in the 12th verse of this reading, he hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins or into my heart. I get a vision of these things sometimes in my mind. And in my mind, I envision this real strong arm with this massive bow pulled back, pointing at me. you know that the Lord knows where you're at tonight. And there are sometimes, and I don't want you to think that I'm talking about sinners here, because it can be, but not really talking about it. I'm not talking about bad people tonight. I'm just talking about people. I'm talking about people that live life, that dream dreams, that go places, that have families, that are in the normal course of life. That I'm just talking about us. I'm just talking about people that want to serve God and about want to have family, and I'm just talking about people, us. But yet we don't know what we need. You don't know what you need tonight. Not really. One of the songs I used to hear says, "When I thought I needed sunshine, the Lord sent a rain. When I thought I needed healing, I had my share of pain. When on a mountaintop, I, I, actually be, that what would do me good? A valley is all I could see. He seemed to always know exactly what I need. I get it wrong too many times. And you know, sometimes we get wrapped up into things. Do you ever get wrapped up in anything? Good, honorable things. Do you ever just get, life ever get you? And the Lord's got his bow pulled back. What a great arsenal our God has. Oh, Lord, help us to see it right. He loves us tonight. And he'll stop us in our due courses. Where we're going to mess it up. Where we're going the wrong way, when the Lord sees his child starting to step towards a danger, he's got a bow pulled back. And he can hit, I'm going to tell you, the Lord's a fantastic archer. And he can hit the mark right on. Right into the areas that you and I need to be hit. He's got them, there's all kinds of labels on them things too. Sometimes it's persecution. You say, how could anybody need persecution? We don't know what we need. There's sometimes that we need something that we wouldn't be willing no way to do for ourselves. But the Lord has something for us. I think so often we don't really appreciate what the Lord is really trying to do when he's trying to stop us in our due course, that he's looking down the way saying, that's going to end in a bad place. And I'm going to stop you before you get there. Well, you've heard my stories, but I'm going to tell you some more anyway and probably repeat them. Remember one time I was in a stupor. Working for the Lord, living for the Lord. Wasn't doing no hideous things. Just felt directionless. Felt like I needed something. I needed something. No passion was there. I needed something. I knew I needed something. I don't know how to get it. I just didn't have any drive in me much. Well, the Lord let me to understand just how much I needed him one day. I pull into this place over in Elkins, and it was a Bible bookstore used to set up there, and I pulled in there and they wasn't open. So I went to back my car off, and there was a gas meter over there, and I just wasn't paying attention. Turned that wheel all the way and went to zoom back up out of there and caught that gas meter with my front bumper. Knocked it pure off of there. And it sounded like a jet plane going off. That big old gas. And it was just a roaring. And I was just frantic. I mean, if that old car of mine would have lodged up on top of that, it's hard to tell. It would have probably blew sky high. But it was a blowing. And I jumped out of there. And it was kind of a dead time in town. And I tried to find somebody in the stores. And there was nobody there. And what do I do? I'm running around. What do I do? Totally out of control. And finally was able to get somebody around there. And he said, yeah, he'd call. And he called. And just now the sirens in town went off. And here come roaring the fire department. And I'm like there saying, oh, I was just me, just out of control, just stop something. I need something. It was like the Lord caught me. Got me. I can't control things. My life's out of control. Things are out of control. Lord, have mercy. What do you do? It seemed like such a magnified. It was everything was magnified. It was big. Everything was huge. I mean, I'm not. Here comes fire trucks, sirens. It was just so big, so dramatic. Lord, have mercy, help. Well, this guy pulls up there, and this guy in a fire truck. He comes up and real easy like. It's not like he ain't done this before. He just gets out and walks kind of slow back to back and opens up this little panel. takes out this little toolbox, and here he comes. Sets it down, opens the toolbox. There was only two things in there. There was a hammer and a big wooden dowel deal. And he come over there and he put it up there and he went, punk. Stopped it. Stopped the flow right there. And I said, that was really easy. Yeah, he said, we called the fire, we called the gas people and they'll come and turn it off and then, you know, got to fix somebody's meter that you just tore up. You know, when it was all said and done, my insurance covered that. I never paid anything. I said, well, who do I owe for all that gas? And, cause I want to do right, you know? And the guy told me, he said, there's no way of measuring it. You knocked the meter off. Okay, well, but I know what had happened to me. I drove out of there saying, yes, Lord. I can't handle this life. Things bigger than me can start happening and snowballing and I'm completely out of control. And I'm so glad that you did that. I'm so glad for the reminder. It didn't cost me anything. Thank the Lord. It didn't hurt anybody. Thank the Lord. But it sure got my attention. And I needed somebody to get my attention. Nobody that cares about me could have known where I was at or how to get my attention. But I become a mark for his arrow. And he looked and saw where I was going. I hadn't went no bad place. But he saw where I was going. And in that course, he stopped me in that course. And you know, sometimes we'll fight and we'll wrestle and we'll go against it. Never willing to just acknowledge the Lord just got me. I'm too busy. I'm giving too much to the world. The Lord caught me in my normal course. I'm not evil. I want to do right. I'm diligent about things. But sometimes I get it out of order. I get out of the way. Thank you, Lord, for slinging that arrow my way. You hit dead true. Dead true right where I live. That was the Lord. You know, a lot of times I believe to see this, if somebody cares about the Lord, I see people many times that I know the Lord's dealing with their hearts. I know that the Lord sent the circumstance to get their attention. I know he looked and said, I don't want you to end up in hell. You're going so fast for it. I'm going to stop you. I'm going to send a car wreck. You don't think car wrecks is in his arsenal? I say they are. You say, well, that storm come up and all that I put into this big, beautiful home, all that I've done on all that, and this storm come up and just ruined it. You don't think the Lord's got storms in his arrows? He's got storms in there. Do you know that the Lord has got all manner of sicknesses? They all are subject to him. Who can say they're not? They're all subject to the Lord. He's God of it all. He's God of the bacterias and the viruses and everything else. And if the Lord need be, he'll pull that great bow back. And he never misses. In hunting, those that bow hunt knows there's what we call kill zone. There's a kill zone on animals. You want to go hunting, that's what you do. You kill animals. So that's what we're dealing with. And it's called kill zone. And it takes in the area of the heart and lungs and liver. And it's about so big on a deer. And people that bow hunt, they practice. And what they shoot at? They shoot at the kill zone. Because the placement of that arrow, and us that have done it know that if a deer, you want a deer a certain way so that you can get him in the kill zone. And if he's at a different angle, you learn what angle that is and where that goes through because you want to hit him in the kill zone. Dead end through, it's a good, clean shot that accomplishes the purpose. Right dead in there. You know what the Lord does? He hits us right in the kill zone. He's going to get us right in where it's going to make the difference. And I've seen people that I know with all my heart was running so fast, so hard in the world that the only thing that was left in their lives was the big old destruction. And the Lord, in His great mercy and love, fires an arrow right in there. And now their life's at stake. And you know, over and over and again, we pray, we see, and over again, they don't realize that that was the Lord. They never think that that was the Lord loving them. Saying, stop. Stop in your course. Change your course. Another incident that I had in my life of out of control. The Lord seems to have used that with me. It's very effective to me. When I like order and I like control of things. And more I've learned that I don't have control of things. I want them to go a certain way, but they don't go a certain way. I want life to be a certain way, but it don't go. It gets stubborn. It won't move my way. It won't go my way. And over, the Lord's helped me to realize it don't go that way all the time. And I take it from the Lord. I believe the Lord is able to stop us in those courses. It's valuable. It's valuable. It says that He hath bent His bow. And He has set as a mark me, as a mark for His arrow. He has caused the arrows of His quiver to enter into my reins. You know, there was times. You remember David? David was a man after God's own heart. There was no doubt that he was a favored man. But he committed one of the most hideous sins recorded in the Bible. That was awful what he did. Taking another man's wife, the whole process of the lie that he had to live, using his authority to kill Uriah, to cover it all. The whole thing was a hideous, terrible, terrible thing. But you know, God's love extended beyond that. And the great archer of the universe pulls back. And the whole universe is its subject to him. And he pulls back his bow at old David and hits him dead square. And he stopped him in his course. You're going the wrong way, David. And you remember the story? David paid dearly for that. Do you know that child of Bathsheba's died? His child died in that process. He paid for that. He paid for that through pain, through suffering. But you know what the worst thing would have been? To let him go unchecked. To let him go without checking him. You know, I don't have to declare that we all ought to be brave enough to say, Lord, lay it on me. We ought to really say, Lord, I want to go to heaven at any cost. Stop me in my foolishness. Stop me in my errant ways. Stop me when I'm going astray and don't know it. Help me. Shoot at me. Help me to realize that I'm not where I ought to be. Help me to understand this. And like I said, don't think it's for just... That's only can be bad people. No, it's not for just bad people. It's for all people. Sometimes the Lord just wants to say, I want you to be a little closer. Well, it would be just wonderful if that's all the Lord had to say is to say, would you come a little closer? I'm right there. I heard your voice right there. But that's not the way it really works with it, is it? Most of the time we need more than that. In the Lord, we wouldn't understand that many times. But the Lord, through what He can do, does that. And He'll shoot. I'm glad He does. But it hurts sometimes. It gets rough sometimes. But He shoots anyway. Job said at the end of his trial, "I come forth as pure gold." Wait, he was a righteous man. You know, the Lord allowed the devil to do all that to a righteous man. He improved him greatly through those things that he controls. And to put into his life, yeah, go ahead, touch it. Touch this, touch that. He was made better through all that experience that he had. And so I look at it sometimes and I honestly, I want to go to heaven. And sometimes I just want, Lord, remind me. Remind me that I'm a human and that, oh, I'll just say it this way. Brother Salmon's going along. I highly honored him. He meant a lot to me. He had a powerful prayer. He had a message. He loved the Lord. And he's going along and he gets a distant look in his eye. And he said, "It sure would be a shame for me to lose out after all this." Brother Samuels. Oh, he was old. He's up in years. He's red. He's not too far from going. And he looks and says, "It'd be a shame for me to lose it. Be a shame after all this." What was he thinking? Reality. Still dealing with his soul. Still realizing that they that thinketh they stand, take heed lest they fall. Lord, always have your bow trained towards me. Have an arrow ready to pierce my heart with. Help me to be back in line, to understand where I am as a human. Because I can't get it by myself. But the Lord can do it. And He's done it for His people. Paul wasn't perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. The Lord was perfect. They were men doing their best under what God had given them to live for God. But every once in a while, they needed the Lord to correct what they were thinking. I marvel sometimes at that whole episode with Cornelius and Peter. I just marvel at that sometimes. I'd have thought that the Lord would have got Peter right up by the cuff and said, "Listen, Peter. When this is all done, the Gentiles are in this. You understand that?" He never done that. That was the Holy Ghost's disposition, wasn't it? Jesus didn't go into that. And but there come a time that you know what? Peter was wrong. It might be hard to say, but he had it wrong. And it took the Lord stopping him in his course with one of his gentler arrows. He dealt with him. And said to him, "You're wrong, and you're going to have to say you're wrong. You're, and he showed him. And now I get a vision. I understand something more. But if the Lord's not willing to do that for me, folks, I'm going to be in a shape. Because I surely would go astray. There has been better, stronger, more capable men than I'll ever be. With more gifting to write songs, to preach messages, that lost out with the Lord. Why? Because they didn't heed what the Lord was trying to tell them. The Lord, I believe, was faithful. I know that He was faithful. You can read about their lives. He was faithful to fire the arrow that should have stopped them. It don't have to stop you, folks. It's designed to. Let's read another scripture over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, I think, is what I want. I'll just just read it all for the thought that's in it. Verse, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me, or to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above my measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above my measure. It was the Lord that did it to start with. He took Paul to unspeakable places. He gave him revelations and visions of things out of this world. But the Lord knew that Paul couldn't handle that and what it would do to him and his experience because he was human. So the Lord fired an arrow at him. Hit him dead center. He gave him the very thing that was to work in his life. I know Paul didn't want it. I don't want no thorn in the flesh. You don't want no thorn in the flesh. We'll do anything to get rid of the thorn in the flesh, won't we? We'll pull, we'll rub, we'll do anything we can do to get rid of that thorn in our flesh. It's unpleasant, it hurts, it's painful. We want to get it out of there, it bothers us. But the Lord nailed old Paul with this thorn in the flesh. He needed it. He said he needed it. Lest I be exalted above my measure, unless I allow the things that happen to happen this way. I don't know. I'll give you a little secret about ministry. Sometimes you feel, I don't know what it's like. I do. I mean, I listen to other preachers, but I know from my ministry, sometimes it's just like, I even asked some older ministers one time. I said, I don't understand this. I said, I can get up on Saturday night and it feels like heaven opens. Not so anointed. Blessed, it seemed like it's coming rapid and the Lord just blessed him. I said, I didn't do nothing but go to bed. I didn't commit any kind of evil thoughts or works or nothing. I was just as faithful, and Sunday morning was a disaster. Feels to me like, I mean, I don't know if my brothers feel like that. I feel like that sometimes. Well, I didn't do anything. What is that? You know, the Lord can use his ministers any way he wants to. And you don't even really know from up here what the results of it is a lot of times. That's not for us to say. You know, the Lord knows how to keep us from being exalted above our measure. He don't want to get us exalted above our measure. And there's some times when we get going and everything just going, man, it's a working right. Here comes the arrow to stop you in your course. To say, remember me. Remember your experience. Remember your soul. Don't get lost in these things that you do in this world. It ain't worth it. It isn't worth it. Money's overrated, folks. Now, I know you sit there and disagree with me, but I'm telling you, the Bible says it's overrated. It's the love or the, as I said the other night, the real idea of it is the value we put to it. It's the value of money that is the root of all evil. It isn't money itself, but it's overrating it that causes all the problems. It don't bring you happiness and all those things. And sometimes the Lord wants to remind us of the things that we put in our lives to try to make us happy. It isn't going to do it. It will fail you. Dealt with a man over in in the University of Virginia Medical Center. Dealt with a man. He was a man from West Virginia. He loved the fish. Me and him clicked. And the nurses, they knew me and they knew him. And when they come to me and said, "You've got to meet this guy. You all would hit it off." Well, I went to see him, and sure enough, he was just one of those guys. I mean, we just clicked from the start. There was one major difference. I want to talk about the Lord too. I had the Lord. He didn't. But he had the West Virginia experience. He fished, he hunted. He was just a West Virginian. Coal miner. I mean, you know, he was that guy. Well, we really related. And I said to him in a serious moment, "What are you doing here?" "Well, my cancer come back." Said, I beat it a few years ago, and then, you know, it come back, and I said, "Ain't worried about it. Beat it once, I'll beat it again." "Well, what can you say to a fella? Says he's gonna beat it." Well, he didn't beat it. He didn't beat it. It kept getting worse and worse, and I tried to talk to him. "It's all right. It's all right." It wasn't all right. He was getting worse and worse. There come a day that I went in, and there's family in the hall. Nurses weeping. Family weeping. The doctor had just told him, "There's nothing else we can do." And they're pretty straightforward. "Nothing else we can do. Unless something that we don't understand happens, you got a week. Tops." Everybody's weeping, crying. I want to tell you, I went home and I prayed and I prayed and I begged God, "Give me something to say to him. Help me to break through to this man." His whole life was casting a lure. He put all of his, everything I talked to him about was being on the lake with his grandson, or being out there casting, catching that fish. Everything was that. He got such enjoyment out of fishing. He loved it. But now, the God that he had worshiped, does it come to your rescue now? "If I could but cast one more time, I'd be happy. I begged God, give me something." And you know, I went into his room day or so before he died. Nothing left. He's looking up. He would not respond. He would not talk to me. He laid with almost the bitterness of life on his face. His God failed him, folks. He had made it out of fishing, but now, can you call on one more joyful moment of reeling a bass in when you're about to leave this world, and it comforts you? Many people do them in the sports world. You're gonna put all your things in a hurrah and the energies of but when it comes down to the hard times, it don't rescue you. There's no God there for you. Lord, help us. I always thought that the Lord slung an arrow at that man in his course going to hell. His whole purpose for nailing that man was to draw him to God. For him to realize that I've spent my whole life fishing. I spent it on these things that don't satisfy. And now I'm in trouble. And I need something bigger than me. What do you think it's all about anyway? What do you think these things that we hear about? What do you think it's all about? It's God trying to arrest people. God will arrest us. Stop. Stop. You know, God's got so many arrows in his quiver. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but it was such a dramatic thing. I don't know what anybody ever got out of it, but boy, it really stirred me. We was in the Prague tent meeting. I don't guess the Salis are here. We were in the Prague tent meeting, and right before the service, some of you know this, but right before the service, one of Brother Ian Cornelio's voice, he let out a squall. Lord, here he come, and he had a bee got him. And he was a whimpering and crying, and bees stung him a little bit. And just now that little slave boy, he just started screaming. I ain't never seen anything like this, folks. That swarm of yellow jackets got on that boy and they wouldn't leave him alone. They thought I looked and there was one. He went over and was a swatting it and trying to get them bees off, and them was a following them and letting them have it. And all the way over there, I was just shocked at the whole scene. It was so dramatic. All this is happening on this. I tell you what I said. Boy, we need the Lord. We need the Lord so badly in this. He'll send things sometimes. It ain't the bad people. It's to all of us. Look at this. You can't even, you're big and you're smart and you're capable. Them yellow jackets only that long. But they carried a punch. What did they get him? 68 times or so? I don't know. He had welts all over him. And that, then we was worried about shock and all this that happened. But the Lord helped him. The Lord touched him and helped him. But there was quite a reminder of life there for me. I was saying, I like to be a big, brave guy that can protect all the little children around the tent meeting. But I ain't no big, brave guy that can even handle the yellow jackets. They'll get you. At home, recently, sad account. Young woman over there, I think they maybe just got married. Maybe they was going to. I don't know. Maybe just got married a month. And she was standing right in the yard, and a log truck come down the highway and lost it there and swung over and lost the load, and the logs come right off the truck, her in her own yard. The logs come right over and dumped and killed her right there in the yard. I don't want to tell you, you talk about an arrow hitting the right spot. It's like that could happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody. I ain't big enough to protect my wife from it. Can you? Lord, help us. Lord, remind us. Help us in this. One of the most devastating times, the whole community over there in Webster County where I grew up was just shocked. Two locals there, one of the guy I knew well, the other one I knew his dad well, a couple of them coming back from work, 3 o'clock on Route 20, going south towards Diana. They was coming back from work, middle of the night, hadn't been no storm, nothing. They're driving down the highway, normal clip down the highway, and there was a big oak tree standing up on the bank. And that oak tree gave way. There was not a lot of traffic. There was another couple guys behind them. And I'm going to tell you, that tree, they're coming down the road, 55 mile an hour, and that tree fell so exact that it come right down through, so exact, the EMT didn't, he said it very silent to me when he told the story, that limb snapped off as it come through and went right down through one of them, killed both of them instantly, right there in the cab of the truck. It was, when you think about the time at 55 mile an hour, calculated it out, we get what exactly was it now, but it gets down to a very fraction, when you think of the space that it takes to get, in a quarter of a second, that they would have went completely, a quarter of a second, the whole vehicle would have went completely through it, and it was confined down to the very moment that it went right down through and got them both right in the cab of that, and it was seen by the guys behind there, and it messed with the psyche of the people in my area over there. I had people that did not even know the Lord that were so shook up about it, they said, there has to be something in that. Something just. You know what? I don't doubt it a bit. I don't think that it was just happenstance. I think God shot an arrow to wake up people. I think He wants to stop people in their normal course and say, you're going the wrong way. And the tragedies that you and I look and go, oh, you know, a boy shoots his dad, or a log truck kills a woman, or that tree fell on those guys. That ain't as tragic as souls lost in hell.
That's true.
It's only the body. The great tragedy of life is being lost forever. So Paul's in this place that if he gets exalted above measure, he can lose his soul. So the Lord shot an arrow at him. It was an arrow designed for him. He didn't have to have a log truck. He had a thorn in the flesh. It was enough. It got the point across. He said, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Well, in my mind, sometimes I think the Apostle Paul was such a mighty man of God that maybe the first prayer would be enough. But then I'm reminded that the Lord prayed three times too. So three times is about the way you'd want to get the answer. So Paul prays and nothing happens. So he prays again as we normally would. Lord, what's going on? He prays. And we praise again. And he prays three times that the thorn could be with full faith and confidence of a man that went to the third heaven and seen paradise and seen the unspeakables and could pray down the power of God. And this thing's gone because, after all, I am a mighty man of God. But he didn't get his prayer answered the way he thought he was. Because the Lord had a better, a much brighter, better way for Paul. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you and I get a desire to really serve the Lord, we're generally opening ourselves up to the workings of God. If you have a passion or a desire to make a difference in somebody's life, you watch how many times the Lord will have to work on you. You notice how many times that the Lord puts you into a place to where you can make a difference. And a lot of times the ones you're wanting to deal with look on at that. and the witness that you have is the witness that you have through the problems that you have in dealing with the Lord. And they see that. The Christian church of the first century was totally raised up through persecution because normal people looked at the actions of godly people through trouble. And they responded and said, how can anybody do that without God? They have something bigger. They've learned more. Many times God shoots an arrow right in there, kill zones it, to be able to get things to other people. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. You've asked for this to be removed, but the answer is no. See, God always answers. God always answers your prayers. It's just sometimes he says no. No, the real answer, Paul, is to show the great power of God with this thorn in the flesh. Watch the attitude. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Because when I'm in that situation and I can't do it for myself, then he becomes mighty. There's two things that empowers ministry. I will say, of course, a minister has to live a life for the Lord. But there's two things that I've noticed in my ministry that empowers the ministry, that the Lord blesses. The first is hungry souls. It really is. I've been in places before, and I think Brother Ron can help me testify this. Remember the meeting, Brother Ron, that we had up there where we had all these people come, and they just, I literally wiped the altars off. You ever hear about tears on the altar deal? I literally took towels and wiped the altar off. You remember that year that there was people that was so hungry for the Lord that preaching was easy. Powerful. But they were so hungry. And the Lord wasn't disappointing them. And there was such a difference there. I felt that difference. Wow. It's something to preach to people that want it. I'll tell you what the Lord's done to me many times. When he wants something special. Extra special. He puts me in a place of total dependence on him. I've had to preach before when I was in such a place that I said, Lord, I can't do this. I tried to get out of it. And the Lord said, no, I want you to do it. And I was in such a place, two different occasions. One of the occasions, one of my children was sick. I was in a place, and I just said, Lord, I can't fulfill this duty. And the Lord said, yes, you can. Do it. And you know, something happened. The Lord needed to fire an arrow in there and hit me to get out of me what he wanted. The arrows of the Lord. It was a sick child that time. That time it was actually my son. He was little and he was sick. And that time I was in a place. And the Lord fired that arrow to get something out of me. He wanted me to be void of it. Totally, totally depending on him. And boy, did I depend on the Lord. The thoughts wasn't there. The scriptures wasn't there. Nothing was there. And I had this to do. Lord, help me. How am I going to do this? And as soon as I stood up and started opening my mouth, the Lord just started filling. And I was emptied. It was the arrow of the Lord. It was him getting me to that place that I needed to be in to do his work. He wants to get us into the place. And many times he uses the great arsenal. Folks, it's full of difficulties. It's full of thorns and flesh. It's full of those things. But the outcome, Paul's attitude is so beautiful. He said, I will glory that I might feel the power of Christ. I will most gladly be in this place. I want to be in this place. First year I was saved, I heard about people that was trusting the Lord and how the Lord was touching their bodies and helping them. And oh, I had this desire. I had this desire. I want that experience. I want the Lord to do that for me. Well, you gotta get sick for that to happen. Well, I'm not about the getting sick thing, but I really wanted the Lord to help me. Well, it wasn't too far in that I got my opportunity and I got sick. I was running a high fever. I was so sick. I want to tell you, it was one of the most glorious places. I wish I could relate to you, and that words won't do it. I wish I could relate to you what it was like being sick that time. Because the sickness was there, and I felt bad in my body, but the overwhelming glory of God was so strong that I would gladly do it any time if I could do that. It was like I was hurting. I had the pain, the suffering, but the glory was so much. It overshadowed everything. It was so precious to me that I've always said, I would gladly go back to that place. Lord shoots arrows sometimes to accomplish his work. You going the wrong way? I got you. Here's something for you to draw you back. Here's something to remind you of the greatness of your Savior. Here's something to make you needy. And in that need, you'll find God's grace. You'll find an experience that you ain't never had. You'll say, I ain't that kind of person. I've always been a grudge holder. Here's somebody that just rattles you up and down, rakes you over the coals, treats you just terrible. That was a good arrow. Hit you right in the... I'm offended. I'm hurt. Somebody treated me bad. Believe this or not, David come one time and there was a man standing over there. I think he was a descendant of Saul, and he was raiding on him and cursing him. So one of David's men said, you give me leave, I'll go take his head off. David said, leave him alone. Perhaps the Lord has said, curse David. Maybe I need to hear something, or maybe there's something from God here. Maybe I need to humble myself down. Perhaps that arrow shot was the Lord saying that, giving the devil leave to touch you somewhere. Because you need to feel the grace of God. You need to know the experience. You need to learn how to forgive people. It's the experience of God that we're after. It's what we want in our lives, is God in our lives. What a better place. One time I was praying, Lord, I want to be like you. I actually had the nerve to pray, Lord, I want to be more like you. I didn't know what that meant. I know what I was hoping it would mean. I was hoping that I'd wake up one morning and I'd just be a gentler, kinder soul. That's what I was hoping. Lightning flashes and thunder roars, and I'm a different man, and I got just more grace than I ever had, and I'm patient, and I love everybody, and just everything more of God. That ain't what happened. What happened was, is my neighbor come down on me. The neighbor that I had spent my years, every time they called, every time they needed help, anything they needed, I was quick, my wife would testify, I was quick to help them every time. And they come down on me over something that was ridiculous and wasn't even my fault. And I know my wife, her first response is as well, well, we'll pray for them. Well, yeah, I remembered that part. I remember that. You pray for them. I remember that. That wasn't the way I was feeling. I was feeling like, oh, now that's something. I do all this for these people, and then they take that kind of attitude. Well, I needed to pray for them, but really, to be honest with you, I had to pray for Marty first. I really needed to pray for me. God just shot an arrow at me. I didn't know it. He shot an arrow at me. You know what the Lord told me? I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I got an enemy now. The guy won't even talk to me. I'd wave at him, wouldn't even wave at him. I got an enemy now of my neighbor. Never done a thing. I told the Lord, I said, all I ever intended or ever done was to be good to them and help them, and they done me like that. And the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, that's what they did to me. And you said you wanted to be more like me. And you know, I just realized something. I had one of the precious, most precious moments handed to me. To be like Christ. How can I be like Christ if I ain't putting in the place of Christ? And He allowed me to feel what He felt when they come down on Him. He allowed me to experience that. I did them nothing but good. All I wanted to do was heal their diseases and cast out their devils and feed them and help them and give them a heaven to go to. All I ever done was die for them. All I wanted them to love me back like I love them. And they turned on me. And that's what they did to me. And all of a sudden I realized I've been praying to be more like Jesus. And the Lord gives me the opportunity. And Lord, it felt like one of the disciples. I plumb missed it. Well, I have to start from this point. I know what it feels like to be in the Lord's place. Lord, thank you for that experience. And you went on and died on the cross for them. Help me to go on. I was able to won this man, and we become real good friends. And the Lord blessed the relationship we had there. It took an arrow. The Lord nailed me. He nailed me with a persecution across the street to get me in a better place. The Lord's got arrows for you tonight. Don't overlook those things. Those things that come into your life, folks, count them as the Lord. Count those things to say, yes, Lord, you got my attention. Lord, what do you want? What can I, how can I benefit over this situation? Somebody run into my car, or I run into somebody's, or somebody treating me bad out on the highway, or there's road rage, or a tree falls, or whatever it is. Lord, what are you saying to me? What is it that you want in the life that I have? What is it that I've been touched? What is it that you're calling for? A deeper commitment, a greater faith? What are you speaking to me? What are you trying to speak to me when you shoot that arrow? The only thing that'll stop me sometime is a dead center hit. Bang, got me. You got me, Lord. What is it that you want me to do? You know, I believe that the Lord's willing to reveal the answer to us when we get into the place to hear it. You stop me, Lord. What do you have for me? I want to finish with one scripture. I don't mean to take so much time. Over in 2 Corinthians 4. It says in the 7th verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And thank the Lord. That's it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's going to be troubles. God's going to have things for us. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. So, I can't get there by myself. I can't make that testimony or that witness by myself. It's going to take the Lord to get me to be able to that place to where I can witness that kind of a witness to the Lord. And this is being faithful through all of these kind of things. And just in faith, I want to say, I want to try to be bigger than I am. But I thank God for the arrows. That he shoots. They hurt. And they hit the kill zone. And they're accurate and they penetrate all the way. But I don't know what I would have done without them in my experience. I don't know what I would have done if he hadn't have shot them. And I thank him for every one of them. You pray for me.